Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, without apology, we continue our careful study of Romans chapter 14. And I'm taking a lot of time with this chapter because I think it is such a critical portion of God's Word that is so often overlooked. And since it is so badly neglected by the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ today, I think that warrants our taking some very careful time, serious time, to carefully examine what is contained herein. Now, you notice that Paul deals specifically with two items that were issues of non-essential differences between Christians in the church at Rome. Number one, foods, and number two, days. Some Christians had differences regarding their diet, what they permitted themselves to eat. And others had differences regarding religious days, feast days, holidays, religious days of observance, and what they considered to be pleasing to the Lord in that matter. And Paul clearly puts both of these in the category of non-essential items. These are not matters that the Bible has any requirements regarding, either requiring the participation in either of the categories here, or forbidding participation in either of the categories. But that doesn't mean that all Christians have that understanding. And along the way, to sort out the differences, Paul lays down the general principles that are so helpful to us in regard to Christian liberty and how to deal with non-essential differences in the body of Christ. Now I read again Romans 14:1, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables." Now here Paul makes it clear that the all-inclusive diet is the correct position. On matters non-essential, sometimes there is no correct position. Sometimes there is a biblically correct position. And this is important, that we understand that sometimes there is no biblically clearly stated position. That's why it is non-essential, because, frankly, the Bible just does not make clear what the correct position is. But other times there are non-essential issues that the Bible gives the correct position on, but they are still in the category of non-essentials. That's difficult for some people. That's going to blow some people's mind, because it seems like anything that the Bible does take a position on becomes essential, at least in the thinking of some people, and that's why I'm taking this time to point out that that is not so. There are some things that, though the Bible does state a correct position, they are still placed in the category of non-essentials. And this is one of them. What is the correct position in regard to foods? Well, the all-inclusive diet is the correct position. "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute so over doubtful things, for one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables." Now there it is. The one who eats all things, the one who believes he may eat all things, is actually acting upon the correct biblical position, because the one who is weak eats only vegetables. The one who has the weaker faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is believing the revelation of God and acting accordingly. How does faith relate to the issue of diet? Whether we are allowed meat or whether we restrict ourselves to vegetables only. Well, take the issue of eating meat offered to idols, which is a similar situation, though not identical to the one in Romans. But let's read what Paul said about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 6 through 8. He says, maybe I need to back up to verse 4. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol until now, eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. Now that position makes it clear, that passage makes it clear, that it is permissible for us to eat all things, yes, even food that has been offered to idols. A Christian can eat that and does not dishonor the Lord in doing so. If he understands in his mind that an idol is nothing and that food offered to an idol is just food and that it may be consumed. And as long as he's not eating it as an act of worship to the pagan god, it's okay for him to eat it. Somebody else offered it to the idol as an act of worship to a pagan god, but I'm not doing that. I'm not bowing down to the idol in the idol's temple. I'm not eating this as an act of worship. I'm eating as an act of thanksgiving to God. I'm eating as an act of nourishing my body. I'm eating it as an act, possibly, of good stewardship, because oftentimes the meat that was sold at the temple after having been offered to idols was cheaper than the meat sold at the butcher shop. So it's a matter of stewardship to the Lord. I'm eating perfectly good, wholesome food that I know God created and God gave me and allows me to eat, and I'm eating it as unto the Lord, the only one true God, not with any act of idol worship in my eating. But not all Christians understand that, and some, with consciousness that it has been offered to an idol, are troubled by it. Well, that's the weaker position. But, as Paul makes clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, that position needs to be understood and respected by the brother who has greater Christian liberty to eat all things. Here again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, in regard to foods, you've got the strict brother and the non-strict brother. The strict brother restricts himself from eating food offered to idols because it bothers him. He thinks somehow that's dishonoring to the Lord. Paul makes it clear, it's not. It's not really. Might seem like it, but it's not really. So the Bible takes a clear position. The strong position, the mature position, is eat it. It's perfectly okay. But if eating it, as Paul goes on to say, causes my brother to stumble, I'm not going to eat it. Verse 9, but beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. And he goes on to explain that. So, there is a correct position, a correct biblical position in regard to foods. The correct position is anything may be eaten to the glory of God. God isn't offended by the foods that we eat, whatever they may be. Do you hear me? God is not offended by the foods that we eat, whatever they may be, even food that has been offered to an idol. But not everybody understands that. There are brothers who are less mature, whose faith is weak, who haven't worked through all of this yet, who don't understand this yet. They're bothered by it. So if your conscience troubles you, what? Don't do it. It's wrong to violate your conscience. If your conscience troubles you about eating anything, meat offered to idols or something else, if your conscience troubles you, don't do it. It is a sin to violate your conscience. You need to wait until your conscience is comfortable, until your understanding of Scripture has recalibrated your conscience and has informed your conscience that it's all right so that it no longer bothers you. But if that stage hasn't been reached yet and it bothers you, then don't do it. It is a sin to violate your conscience. Paul makes that clear in Romans 14. And it is a sin for me to harm my brother's conscience, for me to cause my brother to stumble by my exercise of Christian liberty. So, we have Christian liberty, but we don't always exercise it. We need to understand what is biblically required and what is biblically forbidden. We need to understand the difference between things essential and non-essential. We need to understand that the things that are non-essential are permitted for a Christian. God is not offended by our participation in anything that the Bible does not forbid or require, but that, of course, requires a proper understanding of Scripture. That requires a proper understanding of the relationship between the Old Testament and the New. That requires a lot of things. It requires a lot of mature understanding to get to the place where you do have a proper biblical understanding of these things. And so there are going to be a lot of Christians who just aren't there yet. For them, eating certain things is wrong. As long as you think it's wrong, don't do it. And for those Christians, it would be wrong for me to harm their conscience by what I do or what I encourage them to do. I may have a liberty, but I don't have to exercise it. In fact, there are certain occasions where exercising it would be exactly wrong. But it is growingly important. It's becoming more and more obvious that this matter of Bible study, Bible interpretation, is a pretty serious matter. And we need to learn how to read and interpret the Bible correctly so that we'll not be confused about these kinds of issues, so that we'll not be dependent upon what other people tell us, which may be right, may be wrong. We need to understand something about the principle of progressive revelation, that everything that God has said in the Bible is not necessarily applicable to us today. We need to understand what the new covenant says to new covenant, that is, New Testament believers, as opposed to what may have been said to God's people in a previous era. Some things have changed. Some things remain the same. Some things have changed. How do I know what's what? You're going to have to study the Bible carefully so you can truly know what God requires of us today. These things can become challenging, and so we should all approach them most humbly and most prayerfully. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.